The Torah tells us that Yom Kippur there's a chiyuv v'inisim as nafsho seichem. Chal nefesh asher lo su'uneh, a Jew is required to be ma'ana himself, and iser against violating that. It's the Tanaim explained in the beginning of the Mishnah tells us, and the Tanaim, the Gemara quotes Brisis, beginning of the last parak of Maseches Yumam, that demonstrate from the Pesukim that refers primarily to avoiding eating and drinking. The Jew is required to fast in Yom Kippur. Chas v'shalom, a Jew does not fast for no valid reason. It's a very severe iser, a chiyuv kares. The Mishnah tells us that that's not the only prohibition Yom Kippur. In addition to prohibition is eating and drinking. The Mishnah tells us, opening Mishnah, the last parak of Maseches Yuma, the 8th parak, parak Yom Kippurim, Mishnah tells us there are additional 4 inuim, the Sha'ar inuim, the other inuim. The other inuim, Rechitza, Sicha, Nios, Asan, Lotash, Shamita, 4 other behaviors that are prohibited on Yom Kippurim, the first of which is bathing. Machlokas Rishonim, whether these are Yisurim, Daraisa, Yisurim, Drabanan. But either way, when it's forbidden to bathe on Yom Kippur, regardless of whether the Isser Rechitz of Yom Kippur is Asim in HaTorah, Asim in Jabbatan, the Mishnah says it is forbidden to bathe in Yom Kippur. And on the other hand, the Mishnah also says, and the Gemara continues along with this theme, that there are certain exceptions. That for valid Sarachin, one is permitted to bathe. It's forbidden to bathe with Tanug. It's forbidden to bathe for pleasure. But if it's to solve a particular problem, then that's Motzah. So for instance, where it tells us that by Zayin and Chesed Yuma that Yadav Melech Lachas Betitz Betzoef, my hands are dirty, my hands are sticky, so then I have the right to wash my hands. On the way home from Shul, you fell in the mud, so you're allowed to wash yourself off. You're busy feeding a child, and now your hands are all sticky. You're allowed to wash them off. You can't wash for pleasure, but if it's to remove lichluch, so then Gemara says it's mutter. Now the Rishonim say it's not only true for physical lichluch, for physical soil, it's even true if there's some spiritual reason for which I want to wash my hands, some sort of spiritual soil. Take a look at the way the Shulchan Aruch quotes this. This is Simen Taf Reish Yud Gimel, Simen Taryag in Arachayim. This is the one and only Simen Taryag. The other three sections of the Shulchan Aruch don't have that many simanim. Only Arachayim has that many simanim. So the one and only Simen Taryag in all Shulchan Aruch is Rechitz of Yom Kippurim. Aser here, Sif Aleph from the Shulchan Aruch, Aser Lirchaz B'Yom HaKippurim, Bein Bechamim, Bein Mitzonim, forbidden to bathe in Yom Kippur, neither with hot nor with cold water, and not only not to bathe your whole body, feel a hoshet etzbo b'mayim aser. Can't even stick one finger in the water. But, im hayyadum oraglav oshar gufo milichlachim betit o betzoa, but if your hands, your feet, some other part of your body are dirty, are muddy, are soiled. Oh, shenotav dam echotmo. If a fellow has a nosebleed in Yom Kippur, so he squeezes and gets the blood to clot, but now he still his lips are bloody. His face is bloody from the nosebleed. So mutal rechtsam. You're allowed to wash. Shelo asru ella rechitza shel tanuk. The prohibition is against taking bathing in a way that's kishmak. You take a shower. Take a shower, you're dirty, but you take a shower to feel refreshed. You wash your hands, you feel better. So that's forbidden. Even and stam rechitza is considered to be a shel tanug. The default is that rechitza is for tanug, unless there's a specific cause. If there's this particular lichlucha they need to remove, so that's no longer defined as rechitza shel tanug, and that would be mutter. Now moving to Siv Gimel. Hitel mayim b'shir shev yado. Yeah, question?
What about I don't know if COVID would be considered nowadays enough, like because like just because you want to be not a germaphobe, but just like you want to after shul or something on Yom Kippur, would you be allowed to come home and watch?
So I think one of Rabbi Schechter's many tens of Piskei Corona, I think he addressed that. So he said if it's indicated to wash your hands, whether with alcohol or soap or water, so that even without coming onto Sakanas Nefashos, if there's a lichluch that needs to be removed, so even if it's not a visible lichluch, but if there's a lichluch that needs to be removed, so that's not rechitza shel tanuk. And that's actually what we're up to right now. In Siv Gimel, hitel mayim v'shushef biyado. So a fellow uses the bathroom. Also Sarach of the Kinach. So if he uses the bathroom and his hands are soiled, he has to wipe himself and his hands are unclean. So if a person comes out of the bathroom and his hands may be soiled, so yad milchlachos, you can wash your hands. Then the Shulchan Aruch says, even if you came out of the bathroom, your hands are absolutely sparkling clean. I think our sense of hygiene nowadays would assume that our hands are always dirty to come out of the bathroom. Okay, but let's imagine, Shulchan Aruch says, imagine a situation, you came out of the bathroom, your hands are totally clean. Your hands are totally clean. Without getting involved in the biology of it, but on the assumption they have a scenario where your hands are fellow use the bathroom, but his hands are not meluchlachos. Shulchan Aruch says that there's another reason why you might be allowed to wash your hands, and that's if you're going to daven. He'll come out of the bathroom, his hands are sparkling clean, but he's going to daven. Still wash your hands as a hachana for tefillah. Okay. So the Taz has a kasha. What do you mean? If you're going to daven, Yom Kippur, you're daven all day long. If you're going to daven, you're always going to daven. You come out of the bathroom, invariably you're going to daven. What does it mean if you're going to, when would you not be about to daven Yom Kippur? When?
In shuls were their breaks.
Okay. Okay. But if you're going to daven in hours, you have to wash your hands for the davening later. Right? And even if I'm not going to daven this moment, but if you're telling me that after using the bathroom, there's a need to wash hands as a apart from the germ issue, apart from the physical, biological hygiene issue, I have to wash my hands because I'm going to daven. So I'm always going to daven, or in Kippur in particular. Yeah, what do you say?
The Gemara that says that if you're not in the mood for daven, you can't daven, and you have to wait a few days.
Okay, good. So maybe the fellow is he's in a state of mind where he's unable to mechaven. Yeah. State of mind unable to mechaven. Okay, good. It would be unfortunate to happen to him, Kippur.
Yeah.
It would be unfortunate to miss that opportunity. Yeah. What else? What else? Good. Good. What else? You say the same thing?
No, it didn't have the same thing.
Okay. Take a look at the Taz. Yeah? Boyarsky.
What about like the knife?
Oh! Take a look at the Taz. But this, both of your answers, Chaim and Akiva, are going to raise a new question. Take a look at the Taz. Mashma avo b'lo shiv shev, ein lito yadayim rak and rotzo spalel. You're going to, sounds like if the fellow's hands are clean, it's only because he's going to daven. So in the part that I clipped out, I believe the Taz goes on to say, and that's in a scenario, the fellow uses the bathroom after Mayriv, he's going to sleep subsequently, he's going to wash in the Negavas in the morning anyhow before Shacharis. So now there's no need to wash hands in terms of the upcoming Shacharis, because there's going to be until it's done in between anyhow. Oh! How about Kriya Shema Amita? And how about even for Kriya Shema Amita? Ashiyatza. Lama talo kam betfila shehi ena koyam. Taz says, I understand. Why are you talking about tefila Shmoneh Esrei, which is not all day long? I mean, you daven Shmoneh Esrei repeatedly, but not. You don't have more than one Shmoneh Esrei the night of Yom Kippur. So after Ma'ariv, there's no more Shmoneh Esrei coming up. Fima shekasafti kan in tzarich lita. We forget about Shmoneh Esrei. You always need to say Asher Yatzar, and that's true any time of the day or night, even if there's no Shmoneh Esrei coming up. Even if it is at night, Leil Yom Kippur after Ma'ariv is done. Or even, as Chaim said, a scenario for some other reason, a fellow is potter from Shmoneh Esrei. But Tkufas HaTalmud, inability to have Kavana was a patur, because there was typically an ability to have such Kavana. Inability, you know, occasional inability to have kavana could have been a patur from davin. Taz says, what about Asher Yatzar? What about Asher Yatzar? You always just say Asher Yatzar. That's invariably the case. So why does Shulchan have to say, well, shiv shef, low shiv shef, tefillah, just say pashut. You always have to wash your hands. You come out of the bathroom, you always have to wash your hands. Yom Kippur. You can say Asher Yatzeh. End of the story. Could have cut through all the confusion. Could have cut through all the complexity. What? Tah says you have to wash Asher Yatzeh. It's a kasha. What the teretz? Well, the Shulchan Aruch thing. Shulchan Aruch apparently held. You do not have. Shulchan Aruch agrees. They say Asher Yatzeh. So apparently Shulchan Aruch held that you do not have to. There is not a din of specifically wash your hands even if they're clean for Asher Yatzeh. Only for tefillah. Why? Why is that? So take a look. The Makara Dvarim, the notion that I said before, the Gemara says Yadav Meluch Lachos Yirf B'Titu V'Tzoah. Shulchan Aruch Sefal was based on the Gemara. The physical soil, physical dirt in your hands, that's a matir for washing. That's a matir for Rechitz Yom Kippur. But that's the Gemara. With the Siv Gimel that extends it to the spiritual need to wash your hands, which again is perhaps the mark of what you said before, asking before the COVID question, a non-tangible. The COVID may be somewhere in between. It is physical, non-tangible, non-visible. So the notion that you expanded, so that comes to one of the Mekoros where you show me this Hadol Zmaimini, the very bottom page. Hadol Zmaimini, as you know, is on the bottom of the Rambam. It's Hadol is written by a contemporary, a Rishon, Ashkenazi Rishon, who lived at the same time as the Rosh and the Mordechai. The three of them were all Talmidim with Maram of Wittenberg. And Hadol Zmaimini collects the bottom of the Rambam. The Rambam has called Tarkulas. So Hadol Zmaimini organizes Piskei Dinim of the Ashkenazim and the Balei Tosfos that either parallel or dispute the Rambam, or just about the same topic. It's a way. The Rambam was an organizing principle to collect all these Ashkenazi Piskei Halach. So here in Shehilchos Shvi'is Asar Perek Gimel, Perek Beis is about of Shvi'is Asar is about the halachas of not eating and drinking. Perek Gimel is about the Shari Nuyim. So here on the Hagos Maimini Tzadam Shvi'is Asar Perek Gimel is Beis. It's in the middle. I took a few lines of a very, very, Oz Beis is a very, very lengthy piece. Perish Rashbam Bariva, two early Ashkenazim. Shem Hisich Raglov, Mutar Lirchot Yada Mishum Hikon, Likras Elokecha Yisrael. They said a fellow used the bathroom, even if his hands are clean, he still washes, even Yom Kippur. Why? Because of davening. But the language is Hikon, Likras Elokecha Yisrael. Hikon likra selokecha Yisrael. You have to. That's a pasuk in Treyasa. The Navi tells you have to prepare ourselves. Hikon lashon hachana. Got to make hachana likra selokecha. Jews have to prepare likra selokecha to go face to face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it could be that's the answer to the Taz's kasha on Shulchan Aruch. Why is the Shulchan Aruch only mandating netilas yadayim as a blanket rule in advance of Shemona Esrei, not in advance of Asher Yatzar? The answer is because only Shemona Esrei is likras lekecha. Only Shemona Esrei are you, so to speak, face to face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With the Rambam, we had seen Reb Chaim's Rambam that you're omed lefnei Ashchina. You're in a, so to speak, in a face to face situation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not necessarily the case with brachas. A bracha is something you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's sort of the difference between talking on the phone and a face-to-face conversation. Maybe the difference between a Zoom shiur and an actual live shiur. There are similarities, but they're not the same. It's not the same experience. And meeting people, if you have no choice, so you'll talk to people on the phone. But you know and I know that it's not this. You can get a lot done. It's not the same as a face-to-face. It's not the same experience, certainly. There may be conveyance of content. In terms of building a relationship, it's you do your best, but it's not the same. Now that's the difference between tefillah and other brachas. The notion of hachana, the notion of dressing up and washing your hands and preparing yourselves, that's based on likras elokecha. I'm giving a, so to speak, a face-to-face context with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That requires a type of hachana that a phone call does not. That's the difference between tefillah and a bracha. And then, so that's one additional nafkamina. We were talking about this idea of it being amid l'fnei Hashem. The tefillah, Shmona Esrei, is amid l'fnei Hashem. So we had said yesterday that explains a lot of things. That explains why both formal and informal tefillah are part of tefillah. That explains why we call it avodah shebalev, not avodah shebapeh. That explains the difference between mir hifzik le'akrav versus sach. Because sach, if you're shmoozing, so that denies the whole essence of amid l'pnei Hashem. Number four, that explains the difference between kavanos amid l'pnei Hashem versus kavanos pirush amilos. I will come back to that. Number five, it might explain why hachana is only l'kras elkecha. It's only for tefillah.
Rabbi, how does it answer the first question?
Yeah. The opening question is what I asked today.
Yeah, how did Avida
look at Hashem? But one may have formalized the text, and one may not. But tefillah isn't saying words. Tefillah is Avida lufnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. There may be a minimum shear of what you say when you Avida lufnei Hashem, but more is still essentially the same thing. You're doing it differently, but it's the same thing.
Okay.
And then here's another nafkamina. Here's one more nafkamina. The one more nafkamina is suggested by Arielay Pomeranchik. Arielay Pomeranchik began to talk about him earlier this morning. He was a Talmid of the Brisker Rav, who, unlike most Talmid in the Brisker Rav, the usual, during the lifetime of the Brisker Rav, when pre-war, Brisker Rav was in Brisk, or available was in Brisk, typically guys were learning whatever yeshiva they were learning, and then they would go for a zman or two to get a flavor, a revival. So you were learning in Tells, you were learning in Lodge, you were learning whatever you were learning, and you went to spend his money to by revival finishing school, keilu, lahavda. But Arielay Pomeranchik, he was a boy who grew up in Brisk. There was a real town called Brisk. Brisk is not just an abstraction; it actually is not just floating in the conceptual universe. There was an actual place called Brisk with houses and streets and cows, like a real shtetl. And there were like families. There were children born in Brisk. And one of those children was Arielay Pomeranchik. So he apparently spent many, many years learning by Brisk Rav. Brisker Rav was the local yeshiva. So we have at least three svarim of the Torah of Arielay Pomeranchik. Lev Aryeh came out more recently on a miscellany of different sugyas. Torah Zeraim is a sefer on Yonei Zeraim, Mitzvah Tulis Baretz. And the classic is Emek Bracha. Emek Bracha is on Or HaChaim topics. Bracha is in Moed, mostly. So in Hilchos Tefillah, Emek Bracha suggests, or Arielay Pomeranchik suggests, another application of this idea of replying. And that is, once again, diving into the details. Diving into the details of what happens when Ta be'emsa tefillah. Ta be'tefilaso, ta be'erkzabazin. I left something out. It's a summertime, and I said the same time about Tulavracha. It's a wintertime. I didn't say the same time about Tulavracha. I forgot Yav Yavar Shodash, I forgot Yav Yavar Cholamoed. So on and so forth. So what are the rules? So to clarify, to simplify, the rules basically are the following. Number one, you have to figure out if what you left out is ma'akev or not. Sometimes what you said is you're supposed to say, but we don't see it as a core part of the davening. But sometimes we'll say it was not ma'akev. But in many cases, we'll say that was a necessary theme of the davening. You left of that bracha. You left it out. So for instance, you left it at Saint bracha. In the wintertime, the same time asking for rain is one of the key themes in the bracha of Baruch Aleinu. And if you left it out, you left out one of the critical themes of the bracha, you are not yotzei that bracha, or vice versa. If you mentioned it, if you mentioned Shelas Geshama, you mentioned asking for rain in the bracha during the summertime, so that was a extraneous theme that doesn't belong, and adding it passels the bracha. Okay, so if you left that in a critical theme, you weren't yotze the bracha. So what do you do if you weren't yotze the bracha? Gotta say the bracha again. Right? Gotta say the bracha again. Now, so let's say I just finished Vlam Malshinim. And then I realized, Gavald, it's the summertime, and I said the same time about the bracha in Baruch Aleinu. Says, okay, I wasn't Yotzei Baruch Aleinu because I inserted the same Tal Matla Racha that contaminated our Baruch Aleinu. So we have to re-say Baruch Aleinu. Okay, just for Shalom Al-Shinim. Amata, the Bracha of Tzadik, and I say, I wasn't Yotzei Baruch Aleinu. I'll say Baruch Aleinu. And now what? Well, I can't just go on to this Bracha of Tzadikim because the Seder is Ma'akev in Birkas in Shmona Esrei. You can't say the brachas out of order. You have to say all the brachas, and they have to be said in sequence. So not only was I not Yotzei Baruch Aleinu, I also wasn't Yotzei Tekaba Shofar Harshiva Olam Hashinim because they were out of order, because I said them without properly saying Baruch Aleinu. So I have to say Baruch Aleinu, and then I pick up from there. Tekaba Shofar, Hashiva Shofteinu, and so forth. Okay, so that's why, if you're in the middle of your Shmoneh Esrei, and you realize that you made a mistake, a type of mistake that's critical, you go back to the bracha, you repeat the bracha that you messed up, and go straight from there. The Gemara tells us, but once you're done with the whole davening, so at that point, once you step away from the whole davening, then we see the Shmoneh Esrei itself as a single unit, and if you messed up one of the brachas in a critical way, you have to repeat the whole Shmoneh Esrei. Right? That's the Gemara says in Daf Chav Tes, in Maseches Brachos, that if you're still in the middle, you're still Omid Be'emsa Tfila, they go back to the Bracha Shetaba, and then you have to continue from there because the Bracha says you said Al Seder. But once you're Akaraglav, now you're done the Shmoneh Esrei, then you realize 10 seconds later, Kevalt, I forgot Mashiach Mar Gashem, anyways, Chos Rosh. I left out at the same time Atzal of Racha. I left out Yal V'Yavo at a time when Yal V'Yavo is Ma'akev. So then you got to, once you're done with the Shmoneh Esrei, then the Shmoneh Esrei itself, Shmoneh Esrei as a whole is a single unit, got to repeat the whole Shmoneh Esrei. Chozel Rosh. Chozel Rosh. That's the Gemara on Daf Chav Tes. Okay. The Rambam read the simple, which is the simple reading of the Gemara on Daf Mem Tes, that benching works differently. You saw that sugya on Daf Mem Tes, that the Ritzei usually is Ma'akev, Yal V'Yavo often is Ma'akev. The Gemara actually ended the Chanukah sugya, the Masech HaShabbos, gives the rule that additions to Berakas HaMazon are Ma'akev if it's a day that you're required to wash. So Shabbos you have to wash for the Suda, so Ritzei is Ma'akev. Yom Tov you have to wash for Suez Yom Tov, Yal V'Yavo is Ma'akev. Chol Moed Rosh Chodesh, you're not mechuyev to wash, you're not allowed to fast, you're not mechuyev to have bread. So if you left that Yav, it's wrong to leave a Yal V'Yavo, but you don't have to repeat the benching. That's why some suggest, the Machlokas and Tosfos, whether you have to wash for Shal Shudas or not. So we strongly recommend washing for Shal Shudas. You don't have to have anything else if you're not hungry. If it's a short Shabbos afternoon, okay, so wash. Sing Mizmo David, sing Nigunim. That doesn't, you always have room in your stomach for more Nigunim. So wash and add a little hummus and sing Nigunim a bench. But since there are Bali Atosas who held that Suda Shlish does not require washing, if you left that Ritzei, you don't have to repeat bench. But let's say you left that Ritzei. So you saw the Gemara says if you really arrive to Bonu Yushalayim before you start Bracha number four, you don't just, instead of repeating Rachim, there's actually a special bracha that you say to make up for a Tzei Al-Yavo, unique type of a din. But then the Gemara says, once you start the fourth bracha, Pasach, Batov, Ametiv, that's the Gemara's name for Kel Avinu, for the fourth bracha benching, once Pasach, Batov, Ametiv, Chozer, Larosh. And the simple reading of Chozer, Larosh, is that at that point you got to go back to the beginning of bench. That's where the Rambam reads it. So during Seder, Reina Manoach points out the Rambam read Chozel Arosh, and Testament Bay doesn't mean go back to the beginning of benching. The Raiva did not read it that way. The Raiva said, so the Chozel Arosh just means go back to Rachim. Why go back to Rachim? Because the Raiva said, I don't understand. By Tfila, the Gemara says, and the Rambam agrees, by Tfila, as long as you're middle of your Shmoneh Esrei, you don't go back to the beginning. As long as you're still middle of Shmoneh Esrei, you treat each bracha as a separate unit. Just go back to the bracha that you messed up on. As a matter of fact, the Gemara even says that if you are ragil omer tachanunim after tfiloso, let's say you're a Jew, and that's pretty common nowadays, who adds tfilos after the official Shmoneh Esrei is over. You say Elokai Netzar. Elokai Netzar is one of many options. The Gemara has a list of brachas of many different personal tachanum and the different Amoran said. Elokai Netzar is, the Gemara tells us, one of the Amoran. There were many others. Ra, what we say for Birkas HaChodesh, the Shabbos before Yerush Chodesh was, I believe, what Rav said every day. Not with HaChodesh Hazeh, but the Chaim Shal Bracha, Chaim Shal Panasa, etc. That's what Rav, the Amor Rav, said after his Shemoneh Esrei. Instead of Elokein Tzar. The Gemara says, if you say Elokein Tzar or any other Tachanunim, Achar Tfilos on a regular basis, then that's, you're still in the middle of Elokein Tzar. You realize, oops, I left the Yal V'Yavo, just go back to Ritzay. Frech the Rav, I don't understand what the Rambam is saying. How could the Rambam say, it's a simple reading of the Gemara, but how could the Rambam say, how could the Rambam read the Gemara that way? I don't understand. You finish your Shemoneh Esrei. You're in the middle of Elokein Tzar. But you haven't taken it 3 steps back yet. You're still considered being in the middle of your Shemoneh Esrei, and you don't go all the way back to the beginning. You just go back to the bracha that you messed up. I understand. But you're in the middle of the fourth bracha of benching. The fourth bracha of benching is less a part of benching than Elokein Tzar, the part of Shemoneh Esrei. We should have even said harachamans. We follow the minhag adonim to say harachamans is after bench. You should, that's all. That's regular with tachanunim after bricks of oven. Lo die that if you're middle of harachamans, you have to be chos l'rosh because you're already done with the benching. Even in the fourth bracha, we say you have to chos l'rosh. You're done with the ikar benching, the first three brachas. The fourth bracha is an add-on, a later tachanas chazal. So I say, you're done with the ikar bricks of oven, you got to be chos l'rosh. I don't understand. It's certainly no less than Elokein Tzar. The fourth bracha is a chiyuv midrabanan. Certainly no less a part of benching than tachanun macher tefilaso are a part of the tefillah. So the Rebbe says, I don't understand. I, the Gemara Memtesta, he rereads, that's what the Rebbe explains, he rereads that the Gemara, when it said chozer l'rosh, it didn't mean go back to the beginning of benching, it meant just go back to the beginning of rachet, because you're still in the middle of benching. The writer is a very strong, logical point. And the Gemara in Kaftes, by Tefillah, says that Ragalom and Tachanun Macher Tefillaso, you still consider it to be Besol HaTefillah, so why aren't you Besol Birkas Hamazon in the fourth bracha? What do you say, Gavin Benoff?
Tefillah
is only the Hashem will bench. Oh, Givaldik! Maybe we should call you Aryeh Leib Benoff, because you're Mechavid to Aryeh Leib Harashi. Very, very good. He says, the answer is, what I heard from my Rebbe, the name of his father, the answer is, Reb Chaim says, that no! He says, Birkas Hamazon, what's the act of the mitzvah? The mitzvah is, what's the ma'isa mitzvah? What's it in the pasuk? V'chalta v'savata u berachta. So they say brachas. So you said the brachas. The Gemara works out the content of the first three brachas of Birkas Hamazon all the way through Bonei Yishaloyim, based on the psukim, so that's the ikar brachas. So you finished being mevarach al hamazon. So now there are other things you're saying, which are important to say, which are obligatory midraban. Good, but you're done with birkas hamazon. Now you're saying things after birkas hamazon. But you're no longer beemtza birkas hamazon. You finished those brachos. Masha'ena came by tefillah exactly as Gavi said. Masha'ena came by tefillah says the emek bracha by tefillah the act of tefillah is not saying brachos. The act of tefillah is being omel lefnei Hashem. What we do when we're omel lefnei Hashem, among other things, is we say brachos. So you finish saying the things you have to say while you're being omed lefnei Hashem. But I am still being omel lefnei Hashem. And particularly if I do this on a regular basis, I'm regular mitachnu machat tefillaso, that this is very much a part of my omel lefnei Hashem. It doesn't matter that I'm done with the required Shemoneh Esrei. I'm finished being mevarech Shemoneh Esrei, but I'm not yet finished being mispalel, because I'm still omer lefnei Hashem. Emet.
So according to Gemara, if you're in the middle of the Shalom and you remember that you made a mistake, would you have to go all the way back to the beginning?
So, yeah, so it sounds like the 3 steps back are where you break. That's what the 3 steps back are meant to symbolize. Is I had been standing in presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now I'm stepping away from that.
So what is the Gemara mean when it says, like, if you normally say Tachanun after Tefillah, then you can
even
then
you have
steps.
No, you can say Tachnunim
before
you take steps back after you lower to an Amei Fibre. Is that what the Gemara says? Let's take a look. You're right. I'm sorry, you're right. Well, there are two versions of the Gemara. Right, the two verses, there's an ikka ga'amri. One says, even if you're okay raglav, but you're still bemsat feel if you're raglav and tachanun after you lost. So the first lashon sounds like you're saying tachanun after akiras raglav. The way we say, the hiratzin that we say after osah shalom. The second, the ikad amri, sounds like we're talking about the tachanun after tefillah before akiras raglav. So gotta figure out how we pass them. Gotta take a little shalom, gotta figure out how we pass them. It's a very, very good ha'arub. Let me close with two, the siyuma de milsa. Let's close this sugi with two nekudos. We have six nafkaminas in this idea in Reb Chaim's Ha'ara that the Rambam is defining tefillah as amida l'fnei Hashem. So two closing ha'aras. Number one and number two. Number one is yesterday we mentioned that the Rambam counts in discussing the Braisa, in discussing the Sifrei that the Gemara Tanis quotes on Daf Beis, that the Rambam, we mentioned yesterday, the Rambam sees that Braisa as a Drasha Gemura Daraisa, or maybe not even a Drasha as much as a Perish in the Pasuk. He saw that as Pshuto Shal Mikra, and as such counted this as one of the Tariq Mitzvahs. Mitzvah number 5 in his count of 248 Mitzvah Saseh. He mentioned yesterday the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban thinks that Tefillah is not a Mitzvah Daraisa. Tefillah is not Tefillah. Daily Tefillah is not a Chiyuv Daraisa, according to Ramban. There's Raya from Gebar and Brachas. He has raised from the Gemara and Brachas. Now he needs to address 2 points. One point he needs to address, the most obvious point, is well, what do I do with that medrash? That medrash that quoted by the Bavli and Tainus, the medrash is making an important point. How do you understand, what does it mean to be ovid with your mind and heart? So let's take a look. He's very, very beautiful. He says, no, that Ikar HaKasuv in the Hasagas Ramban to Mitzvah Saseh, hey, Ikar HaKasuv Avduchol Vavchem, that is a Mitzvah Saseh Shetia Kolavo Doseinu Lakel Yisbar B'chalu Vavenu. It's not about tefillah. This is pan halacha. This is across B'chol Terakula. Or Avos Hashem has to be wholehearted. B'chol leiv, kolomer b'chavana ritzuya shalema l'shmo b'ein hir hur ra. Things should be done l'shmo. Lo shenasa mitzvahs below kavana, as opposed to doing the mitzvahs out of rote, thoughtlessly, all hasafik, or you're not really sure, or le'yishvahem toeles. That sounds a lot like the Ram Mesil Sisharim several centuries later, the way he defines avdu chalavavchem, at the very end of the Hakdama. Then the Ramban relates it to Avos Hashem. Avos Hashem b'chol lev v'chol nefesh. Or b'chol ma'od. He says, the Sifrei, that's an asmachta. He thinks that's an asmachta. Mashadoshu b'sifrei la'avdo zeh ha-talmud, davar acher zu tfila, asmachti. That's not a drasha gemura daraisa. There's a chiyut tefillah midrabanan that Chazal pointed out is reflective of this pasuk. Olomar shemiklal ha'avoz shenil motor shenis palei lelov be'ez hatzaros. The siyena einenu v'libenu e'lav levado keinei avodim le'adonim. Maybe part of avoda daraisa, avoda b'chalev, doing things l'shma in a way that's plugged in, whole beat a whole heart in Rosh Hashanah Kodesh Baruch Hu, is going to include that when life gets tough, you turn to Him. And that the Ramban does believe is a mitzvah d'oraisa. As a matter of fact, the Ramban counts as a separate mitzvah d'oraisa in Hilchos Tanios, this is probably early in the year, a separate mitzvah d'oraisa of Za'aka Be'ez Tzara. For the Ramban, there are two mitzvahs d'oraisa of davening, Tefillah B'chol Yom and Za'aka Be'ez Tzara. The Ramban does not think that Tefillah B'chol Yom is a chi of d'oraisa, but he does agree that Be'ez Tzara, there is a chi of t'davin. But the Ramban adds more also. In the previous paragraph, he points out, he does not think that tefillah is a chiyuv daraisa on a daily basis. But let's clarify, but like going further up to the third paragraph, backing up a little, Narvan, calling a tefillah ain't a chova klal mida oraisa. There's no chiyuv, no obligation to daven min haTorah on a daily basis. Aval who mi midos chesed haboris baruch aleinu sheshomei vaone bechol koreinu a love. To be clear, of course, tefillah is a concept that exists min haTorah. There's no chiyuv to eat today. But eating is a concept that exists. It's a biological concept. Even if it's not a chiyuv. So tefillah is a spiritual concept. You may not be obligated to daven on a regular basis, but tefillah is real and tefillah works. And it's mimidas hachesav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is open to and interested and responsive to our conversations with Him. I think the Rav's Nusach was that the Rabban agrees that tefillah is a kiyum daraisa. Just doesn't think it's a chiyuv daraisa. Tefillah matters. Tefillah is meaningful min haTorah. The Rambam believes not only tefillah real and meaningful, but it's also a daily obligation. The machlokus is limited to whether it's a daily obligation min haTorah or not. Everyone agrees that tefillah is meaningful min haTorah. It is truly meaningful. And everyone agrees that midrabana is a chiyuv to daven multiple times a day. The question is there a chiyuv daraisa min haTorah? Is there a chiyuv to daven on a daily basis? And finally, so that's one of our two closing haras, is to appreciate this Ramban. What the Ramban did with the Avda, with La'avda B'chol Vavchem, and what the Ramban agrees to the Rambam on in terms of tefillah. If you could pass these around, maybe close in the final minutes, we're taking a peek at this Reb Chaim inside, and to appreciate a key, I leave you with a whole new direction for further thought about this Reb Chaim. We had seen the Kasha, the stira in Rambams. Interestingly, Reb Chaim does not present the stira in Gemaras that Tosis had pointed out. He says, stira in Rambams. Perek Dalid. He says, Mistimus Lashon Rambam Perek Dalid. Kavana is Al Kol HaTfilah. Vekashe Masha Pasek Perek Yud. That's only Bracha Rishona. And the paragraph ends, Vav Tzadi Ayin. V'tzarech Iyin. A very popular style in Reb Chaim Revelvel and several other Achronim to use verbal punctuation. The Tzarechin is used as in place of a question mark. That means, and this is Shver. In Art Scrollese, I believe this would be dash, question mark, dash. The Tzarechin, we're holding by Akasha. So what's his answer? V'nira lomer, the trade kavne kavana, two types of kavana. Ha'achas, this is what we discussed outside yesterday. One is perish advarim. That's a din of kavana. This is what he's supposed to be thinking about. But the other one, sheyachavin shu omid b'tfilah fnei Hashem, kimevur b'dvar perigdal. This is what we saw yesterday. And in perigdal achatazayin, he says, you finally become achshavus yireh atzmo kilomid fnei Hashchina. And here's the key line: v'nira de kavana zu eino midin kavana. This is not an add-on, a kavanah that's added on to the mitzvah. Rak shehume etzem ma'isah tefillah. That's what the part of the act of tefillah requires, that awareness. In ein libo ponev, ein roes atzmo k'shomel fnei Hashem umispalel. If you're not cognizant that you're in conversation with Kadosh Baruch Hu, ein zem ma'isah tefillah. It's not davening at all. Rehu bechlam mis asek she'ein bo din ma'isah. That's the line. He says you're a misasek. The act doesn't relate to you. Like, you didn't realize you were detaching the tomato from the ground, it's ki'ilu you didn't do it. If you didn't realize that you're omelet fnei Hashem, it's ki'ilu you were, and ki'ilu you were not being mespal. It goes on to say, that's the Rama has that line, that mespalbo kavano ki'ilu lo hispalo. And I will leave you with the following. There is a famous machlokas achronim, Rebbe Kiva Eger and the Nesivis, but it's Rebbe Kiva Eger and the Chavas Das. Nesivis is safer in Yerodea. Whether the misasek, the Gemara raises in the context of averus. If you're misasek, there's no chiyav whatsoever, not even a chiyav chatas. Shog is a chiyav chatas, misasek not even a chiyav chatas. The big machlokes is kiveger chavas das, whether that's merely a patur onshim, you're so disconnected from the act that there's no culpability whatsoever, or it's more fundamental than that, it's not your maisa. The maisa doesn't relate to you. So that is nafkamino ought to be misasek b'mitzvahs. If you do a mitzvah b'misasek, does it count? Which is, I believe, machlokas Rashi and Tosis on the opening amud, the second paragraph of Brachas. If you say the words of Kriya Shema without even realize that you're saying that you're just reading through the law, looking at Sefer Torah without even realize you were verbalizing the words. It seems to me Achlokas Rashi and Tosas, the very beginning of the second paragraph of Brachos, are you Yotze, you didn't realize you were verbalizing. That's Misasik B'mitzvah. That's where Reb Chaim is assuming that Rambam held that Misasik B'mitzvah lo Yotze. And if you're davening without recognition that you are davening, you're davening without recognition that you're Omer L'Fnei Hashem, then it's Ke'ilu L'Lasa, that's the more robust understanding of Misasik, not only a Patronchen, but Mamish, it's not your Maisa at all. There's a lot to think about in the sugya, and a lot to put into practice.